In today's episode, we discuss six things your church needs to know about Gen Z. Gen Z are already busy making their mark on the world, but does your church understand them and what they're looking for in a church? Growing your church long term means working to engage each new generation. If you're missing out on these members, take the time to better understand Generation Z. We hope this episode helps you reach people the right way. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 22. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Ian? How you doing, man?
I am doing well. Happy December. We are almost at the end of 2020. I guess that's good news for a lot of people, maybe.
Yeah, we're ready for that end to 2020, I guess. I'm not someone that gets caught up in that, but I will say that there was a lot of people with some false prophecies going on when we were going into 2020 about what a great year it was going to be and how much clarity was going to be happening for us.
I think that was the year of perfect vision.
That's it.
The year of perfect vision. I heard that from several churches. And, you know, God can give that vision even in an unclear world. But but I don't know. I'm not sure about a lot of those.
That is true. So, well, we got a good topic today. I think we're going to be talking about six things your church needs to know about Generation Z. I think there's a lot that's been made of Gen Z, and well, I don't know. I've been in ministry long enough to know that there was a time where I'm a Gen Xer at the very tail end of Gen X.
Me too.
I know you are too. Yeah. But I remember going to conferences where they were trying to target the young people, and that was the Gen X. I went to a conference called the Gen Exchange once, and it was all Gen X themed. Everything was all grungy, and it was interesting. And then the millennials came, and I think that, you know, we had all kinds of things that were geared toward how we're going to reach millennials. And now millennials are they're about to turn 40, some of them. So millennials are getting up there. And now I think we need to be really focused on Generation Z. Gen Z is older than most people think. I think people have missed that.
I know.
I was reading just the other day that Gen Z is people that were born between 1996 and 2012. So that encompasses all of my kids, well as people that are entering the workforce and in college, and they are adults now. Gen Z is made up of adults, which is kind of crazy to think of, right?
Yeah, it is. It's very crazy. But it's a healthy thing to, I think a lot of people, we were talking earlier today, just how everyone just lumps anything past Gen X into millennials, and that's not accurate anymore. Like you said, millennials are getting older now. We need to be educated on Gen Z.
Millennials are your young families now. Gen Xers are, you know, hate to say it, but we're middle-aged.
Well, those of us on the tail end of being Gen X, we're still kind of right there. Most of my friends are millennials, and they make me feel younger. And I still would say we're a younger family, but you're right. Technically, we're kind of not anymore.
So families are millennials, and the young ones are now Gen Z. And so they are different, man. Gen Zers are different from what millennials look like. And I know for a lot of us Gen Xers and maybe boomers that are in our audience, they weren't even adjusted to Gen X or millennials yet, but Gen Z is a whole different world. And so we have six things that I think are super important for churches to consider when you're looking at how you do ministry and how we need to differently reach people that are in this next generation, because they grew up differently from you and I would say. And there's a lot of changes. So let's kind of dig in, I guess, though. We have a bunch of stats to share with people too. But the first one, I'll tackle it. It's Generation Z, like no other generation, social media impacts their lives. It is a huge, huge part of everything they do. I want to share some stats with our audience here that we did a blog blog post on this, and we'll link that in the notes to this episode. There's a blog post on this same topic if you want to read through some of these stats. But here's some stats on this. Gen Z, they use social media for nearly 3 hours daily. 3 hours every single day is how much time Gen Zers spend on social media, which is, it's mind-boggling. I mean, I already feel like I spend too much time on social media. I know I struggle with that. Like, you know, I kind of get caught up. And you ever done this thing where like you get like you're kind of sick of looking at Facebook or Twitter, so you close Facebook or Twitter on your phone, and then your mind just like opens up Facebook again. Just kind of, I got to scroll through it. I've done that so many times.
And then it confirmed why I got off of it the first time.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So that 3 hours a day, I can't even imagine. I probably, if I had to ballpark it, I probably with Twitter and stuff, I probably spend maybe an hour a day thumbing through that stuff. And I'm embarrassed by that, but 3 hours a day is incredible.
That is
55% of them feel social media helps them better express themselves creatively. That was really profound to think that so many of them think that's their creative outlet. More than half, it's on social media. That's a trip. 54% say social media influences their decisions more than other online channels. So they're more influenced by what you're saying, your church might be saying on Facebook or on, well, not Facebook, they're Gen Z. They're more influenced by what you say on TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram.
Maybe Instagram,
than they are what you say on your website. Like that's the main place of influence for them. That's a trip, I think. Over 76% follow at least one social media influencer. That's one of those titles. That's a new job description, is to be an influencer. It's nice work if you can get it. That's good stuff. But 43% of Gen Z teens, so this is the younger half of Gen Z, they feel they should only post content that makes them look good to their followers.
Oh, wow.
It's eye-opening. That's so much time is spent on posting your best version of yourself. 81% feel social media helps them connect, and 45% believe that there's still too much drama on social media. Oh, my goodness. I think we could all agree with that. But here's the bottom line is that that this is the new sleepover, right? Social media is the new thing that when you and I were kids, Ian, that was, we'd hang out, we'd go for rides, you sleepovers, you talk on the phone. All of that is now social media. That's where it takes place. And this is something that is a place we need to be actively engaging people in order to reach them. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. As a matter of fact, when you were going through all of those stats, it was making me think back to my childhood of playing with like He-Man dolls and G.I. Joe, and then going outside and building dirt mounds and playing army guys and riding my bike. And a lot of the kiddos still do this now, but you're right. You know, and then I started thinking about my kiddos, you know, and they're Gen Zers as well. They're lumped into this, screens, you know, I mean, social media has even impacted them, and, you know, they're in front of a screen more, which we're going to talk more about. But, you know, my daughter TikToks, and now we're very careful there. And as a Christian family, we make sure we monitor the activities and what's viewed there, but it's a totally different world for them.
I think one of the mistakes that churches tend to make with this is that we tend to, so I'm not here to say that this is healthy. Like, so 3 hours a day on social media. No. I'm not here making the argument that it's healthy, but I think that we need to realize that it's reality. Yeah. And that's where kids actually are. And so, maybe there's a battle out there to help people get off of that and the dependence on social media. But I think there's also an equally important part of this is that churches, we need to help people figure out how to reach them there and then how to navigate these things in healthy ways. Yeah. You know, I think that it's, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing with those 3 hours? How could they be spent? How could they be productive online, right? How can you productively use social media? There's great things about social media. I'm not saying that every one of those minutes of those 3 hours are bad. I'm not saying they're all constructive either, but I think just helping our church members think through healthy social media practices, you know, when we talk about some of those things about content that makes them look good, the drama that comes on social media. I mean, I think every This is crazy, but like every church in this country that has young people in it, they have people struggling with this. There's issues of, you know, people like inappropriate things that are getting posted, like of a sexual nature on social media channels now, all the bullying that takes place on these kinds of channels. All these things have moved online. So I think churches really can be a great voice in helping young people navigate this kind of stuff. So youth pastors get this.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say, too, is just that there's arguments on both sides, right? I mean, in my mind, I think, you know, 3 hours a day is way too much, you know, and you know, even if I were to limit my kiddos or a parent's going to limit their teen or their, you know, as far as the, which I think is good, it's healthy for us to obviously, you know, as the Bible says, everything in moderation, right?
Yeah.
But the hours that they do spend there, we can't keep them from this, right? Most of them are going to be there. You're exactly right. If it's a reality, let's seize the moment and take the opportunity to influence them there. If like you said, that if 81% of them feels like it helps them connect, well, let's help them connect to Jesus there in the church.
Absolutely.
And as far as the influential stat, I mean, let's influence them for positive. Let's not just resist it and say, oh, they don't need to be there at all, or that's, you know, blow it off. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's good. So why don't you tackle the second one for us?
Yeah, second one is kind of what I almost jumped to, but screens are their world, because that's what I started thinking of when you were talking about 3 hours a day, you know, them looking on a phone and glued to that. It's not just a phone. It's also their, you know, kids now have flat screen TVs in their rooms, you know, more than ever before, that they're doing gaming on. They're taking computers to school now. Of course, now in the pandemic, they're on computers doing, you know, if they're not in school physically, they're doing it virtually from home. If they're in school physically, they still got a computer there. And then, yeah, a lot of them, of course, have phones. And so that was not a reality for you and I, of course. I know you can probably relate when you and I were, you know, growing up, the first video gaming systems came out and we were like, oh my gosh. And we had that tiny tube TV and we hooked it up. But yet still that we spent maybe a couple hours there. And then we were out and about outside. Now this generation, they're in front of it a lot.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I think so. The math is 3 hours are on social media. That only happens on screens, right? There's not any in-person social media. So you get 3 hours there. All the video game stats that you see, time that kids are doing that, and you know, Netflix time and all those things. And, you know, here we're still shut down and schools aren't open. So all of that is online. And it's, again, I don't want to come across as like this is all necessarily, there are negatives to this, but this is just the reality that we're in, is that kids are on screens 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. That's just kind of where they live nowadays, because that's what you have to be on. I mean, my daughter, she's in high school. She's on in class 7 hours a day on screens. That's just the way that it is right now. So it is a challenging thing for churches to navigate. I think the thing to remember is that there's a lot of advantage to this, is that these young people are, I think you could call it like they're digitally native. Like that is the screens are something that they've grown up with. And you ever notice that sometimes kids are like, I don't know about your kids, but my kids are really uncomfortable if they have to make a phone call, like to call someone on the phone they don't know. Like that's something that I think even in my generation, like that's something that was a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah. But my parents' generation, they're totally native to the phone, right? That was that's totally natural for them. And so I think screens are their natural habitat. They are just kind of, they're used to that. And again, not arguing the merits of that.
Right,
that's just the reality of what it is. And so I think for churches, what we need to be thinking about is that this idea of gathering in person, I'm of the belief that should never go away, that that's a biblical command. That's a part of what church is Absolutely. People need physical contact. And there's some reasons why we'll talk about with Gen Z as we go on in this. But I think that they are very comfortable, and all the research seems to show that they're very comfortable doing their services online, engaging with content, engaging with sermons, engaging with worship online. That's something that they're really already pretty good at. You know, I think that that's just something that we need to be aware of as a church. And I think as much as we want to go back to having services in person, online is here to stay. Screen services, I think that in addition to in person, I think doing church online is something that we probably aren't going to be doing away with anytime soon.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. And you made me think of what my parents used to say, like when electronics and computers started, you know, progressing, they were like, oh, gosh, how naturally you're picking that up. And they didn't understand. And now, you know, we see our kids just, you know, picking up these things like tech, like you said, you know, it's a little more uncomfortable actually picking up the phone to call someone. I know my daughter who's 12 and in seventh grade, who has a phone now, we've had to teach her how to have a normal conversation with someone when she calls her grandparents. I'm like, just talk to them like you would if they were there. But they're natural, like you said, they're native. They're naturally just picking up these things, and it's something that it's pretty fluid for them to adapt to and use. So that's incredible. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah. Number three, let me hit that one. And we say it this way. I think you could say that Generation Z is more uncertain. Mm. There is less black and white, to Gen Z, than millennials, and certainly to Gen Xers and boomers, where we've become less and less black and white. This is one that probably scares me the most, because I am someone that struggles with that probably to a fault. I tell people all the time that I'm a recovering Pharisee, and that's something that I'm a constant thing that I work out, that everything kind of naturally falls into black and white categories for me. And I have to fight that urge to not see things that way. And I think Gen Z, especially, they are very open. Though I read a study, or I guess a report from Biola University, and they put it this way. They said they have a much more flexible moral compass naturally.
Yeah.
And so ministering and doing ministry in that kind of an environment to people that have a hard time buying into anything that is absolute truth, everything is relative, nothing's black and white,
right,
everything's flexible, that's challenging. Like it's just, you have to speak a different language to people that are coming from that kind of a worldview. And I think that's something we need to be aware of. So what do you think? Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Totally agree. And I think you and I have been talking a lot about our kids and teenagers are on down, you know, and I think this is something to note, that this is for 20 somethings too. And I talk to so many pastors that want to reach the 20 somethings. We're talking about them, they're Gen Z, a good portion of them. And, you know, once they're an adult, you know, and they're formulating their mindset about the world, you're right, it becomes more challenging ongoing. Mm. So I think that is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for us to dig in and be able to teach this next generation, you know, in a very relevant way. But it's most certainly a challenge.
Yeah, I think as it's, you know, we're evangelical Christians, you and I, and we raise our families that way. And, you know, we believe in absolute truth, and we believe in scripture, that it teaches what it says is true, and it's God's word. And, you know, that's a whole nother battle, a whole nother degree of separation, I think, that we have with our culture right now, when nothing is absolute, because obviously the idea that, you know, it's Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or whatever, that doesn't really work. That doesn't fly. We can't ever teach that. So it certainly is a challenge. But I think for pastors that are listening to this, I think just understanding that your audience comes to teaching from that perspective is really important. Mm-hmm. So don't make the assumption. I think you could make this assumption with boomers or even Gen Xers to some degree, is that people may not believe in Jesus, but they at least know there's some kind of absolute truth that's black and white for everybody out there. Yeah. You can't make that assumption anymore. You can't teach like with that as kind of your basis and know that people agree with that, because they really don't. They really think that what is true can be totally different from someone for everybody. And so that's something you just need to understand when you go into your teaching with Gen Z, I think. So
That's good. Well, that's a good segue into the next point, which I'll introduce here. And that's you know, because we're talking about teaching them, right? This next generation, they crave role models. And that's this is where the opportunity comes from. We just talked about the challenge, but the opportunity is that they crave role models. And this is crazy. Check this stat out. This is 2015 census data. There's 22.4 million kids, 22.4 million being raised by single parent households. And so they're looking for that father figure or that role model. And I think another reason why they're looking for that role model is we're in a day and age where there's it's kind of hard to find those. Yeah. And boy, are they needed more than ever before. But that's, if they're craving that, well, then that's the opportunity for the church to rise up and help them and be that role model that helps guide them in truth and in life. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know what they call role models nowadays?
What's that?
Influencers.
Influencers. There you go.
That's what that is. So I think that that's the reason is that it's so important that you get this social media thing we were talking about before, because there is this deep craving for role models that young people have right now. And that's mm-hmm. why there's been this rise of influencers, because that's an influencer is a curated role model, right? A role model is someone that you actually get to, in most cases, kind of spend some time or see a little bit about their actual life. And social media has this way of faking that a lot of ways, is that you get to fake what actual life is like. But I think that that's something that is so important for young people right now, is that they have people. And here's the temptation, though, is that we get into these tribes where we think that young people only want to be with young people and older people want to be with older people. But it's such the opposite of the biblical model that we see mm-hmm. of the young and the old really coming together hand in hand. And there's so much, I think that even Gen Z, even though there's discomfort around being with people that are older or younger mm-hmm. or in different life places than you, I think there's a deep craving for that. I know in my ministry, there's a few hurdles to get through when you're relating with someone that's at a different life stage of you. But I think when you can get past that and actually do life and share life together, I think it's so transformational, because I'll just kind of go right into number five here.
Yeah.
Is that Gen Z is lonely. Yeah. Like they're really, really lonely. So they crave role models, that number four, but because of number five, which is that they're just the loneliest generation that we've ever seen. And I think a lot of these things, it's pretty obvious why, when you stand back and you look at some of these stats mm-hmm. that we're spending hours and hours on screens every day.
Yep.
We're on social media constantly and connecting with people, but only the fake versions of themselves that they're putting online. They really are. They have fewer parent figures. They have less family relationship. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to move across the country and be separated from their actual family. Yeah. So Generation Z is the loneliest generation that we've ever seen in the United States, at least. It's something that is it's really documented in that way. So that presents a really important challenge, I think, for the church. And it's something that the church is really uniquely suited to help with. There's really the church can solve that problem of loneliness better than any organization in the history of humanity, I think. So I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, this also hits home during this whole pandemic season we've been going through. That's created more loneliness with this generation and everyone else. But this was going on even before the pandemic, you know, based on what we've been talking about. And it makes me think of how we've been hearing how with this age, with this generation and age range, there's been more suicides than ever before. And that's been increasing, and bullying has led to that. There's all sorts of things we can go into there.
Right.
But I mean, they're a little more sensitive to these things, I think, compared to when you and I were growing up, and it's a different world, of course. Absolutely. And if the church is supposed to be, it's all about Jesus, but it's also all about community. You know, this is the opportunity for us to reach them. And I think they're craving that and that community. Even if they don't say it, they are.
But here's the challenge is that, like, I would say that Gen Z is the loneliest generation, mm-hmm. but they are the hardest to get them over that hurdle of getting into community, right?
Right.
Like, so because they're so digitally native and they're so screen oriented and those things, like, they haven't had as much, like, uncomfortable social interaction as you and I did, right? Like so I'll give this as a for instance. So you'll remember when we were kids, like you actually had to go up and talk to a girl if you wanted to, you know, kind of ask her out or have a relationship with her. You had to actually talk to her. You had to get up the courage to do it. You had to be that, you know, teenage boy that stumbled over your words and said, "Hey, you want to go do something?"
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. Nobody asks anybody out in person. Like, they don't go up to people and do that. They at like the boldest thing they would do is send a text, but it's through messaging and that kind of stuff that it happens. It's not face to face. It just doesn't happen that way. And as hard as that stuff was, it gets you over a lot of your own insecurities when you have to do those things, when you have to go have those uncomfortable conversations. So I will say that Gen Z is actually worse in my experience at dealing with conflict face to face, because they don't have a lot of experience with a lot of this face to face interaction. And all that to say is this just kind of begets more loneliness when you have a hard time overcoming those hurdles. So it is a distinct challenge that the church has, but it's one that we can't abdicate. We can't just say, well, you know, that's the way it is. We are going to be lonely and that's who they are. So
therefore, we can't reach them. We
have to stay in that fight. And that is one of the most important ways. And I think probably the clearest way to reach people with the gospel is that once they feel like they belong to a group, they can start to care more about who our group belongs to, who is Jesus, obviously. So I think it's something that's really important.
Yeah. One thing I would add to that too, is that, you know, in all of my dealings with, you know, the younger generation, you know, there's a little bit more things you got to crack through as far as the surface and you got to dig in a little bit deeper compared to you and I dealing with each other, you know, for the first time, you know, in a first interaction or first impression with someone, you got to go a little bit further. But once you're in there, you're in there. They're designed too. And you kind of touched on that, but I think that's a good encouragement for any pastors listening saying, how do I lead this generation to Jesus?
Oh, they're hungry for it.
They really are deep down. It just takes a little bit more work and digging in there. So
that's good. Yeah. Why don't you wrap us up with number six?
Yeah, we'll wrap us up. They like causes. Another thing to try to get them involved in other than community is that this generation, maybe more than ever before, they like being a part of something bigger than themselves and a positive cause. They're growing up in a world where they're hearing more negativity than any other generation before them and how the world's falling apart. So therefore they're looking for a cause to be a part of. So that's another opportunity for church leaders, is give them something to jump into to be used.
Yeah. I think one of the most underrated evangelism strategies right now is to actually do outreach and causes, like to do those kinds of things. Sure, it benefits the people that you're going to help, but I find that people get tied into ministries when they're able to go and serve and do these kind of things. Here's an example. So we ran a laundry love ministry at my church in Wisconsin, and we would take over two laundromats in the city once a month and provide free clothes washing for anybody that brought their clothes in and was in need. And so it was a great ministry. Yeah, it sounds really encouraging, but let me tell you this, is that we saw a handful of people whose clothes we washed come to our church and give their lives to Jesus over the years. We saw dozens of people that we didn't wash their clothes, but they heard about the fact that we did this. They started to help washing people's clothes and donated towards it. We saw dozens of those people jump in and find Jesus in the midst of that, because they loved what we were doing, the causes that we were behind as a church. That meant so much to them that they were ready to jump in and they wanted to learn more about Jesus. So I think that this is something that churches really need to tap in as an evangelism strategy. It's kind of like we realize that short-term missions, they may benefit the people that we go see in other countries, but they really benefit the people that go on those missions trips and helps them to grow. So I think that getting involved with local causes and being bigger than your four walls, Gen Z is always going to really care about that and making a big impact with those things.
Yeah, I love that you hit on that, because I think that, you know, the takeaway to maybe the pastor that's done things traditionally, the traditional mindset has been, we have to go minister to someone that has these needs, like, you know, that are on hard times and need their clothes washed. Well, you know, yes, that's still a thing that you could still, by blessing someone and meeting a need, that shows God's love and that leads them closer. But it takes a little bit of a different mindset and intentionality to also maybe allow people that are not following Jesus yet in this generation to come alongside and just serve. And through that, you know, so I think what I was trying to get at there is, I think that's the takeaway for a pastor, ministry leader, is you got to kind of have a little flip flop in your mindset to say, hey, it's not just about meeting the need and then that brings them, and let someone else meet someone else's need. And in that, they also find Jesus too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, good. Well, we'll leave it at that for this week. I hope that's been helpful to you guys. It's a fun conversation to have. Gen Z is here. They're not up and coming. They're not in your children's ministry really anymore. They're in your high school programs anymore.
Don't just say we're trying to reach millennials anymore.
So. Yeah, because usually you might mean Gen Z actually. So anyway, but I wanted to thank our audience for listening. We appreciate you guys. And if this has been something that's been valuable to you or your staff there at your church, we'd love it if you would rate, review, subscribe, and continue to connect. Leave comments. We'd love to get any feedback you have for us. But if we don't hear from you first, we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.